observation that is made. And if you look at Hilfer's Availus, the normal laws of mourning, things get progressively easier as time goes on. A person begins sitting Shiva, very, very severe, a person cannot leave their house. Then after Shiva, there's Shloshim, 30 days, in other words, the next 23 days. It's much more lenient. For most relatives, after that point, that's the end of the Availus. For other Behemai, there are some conversions up to a year. But the whole trajectory of Availus is to go from a very chomer state to progressively more lenient until you're eventually able to rejoin society. Then you have a yard site, whatever. When it comes for the period of time that Chazal were Kogaya, every year, to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, we find an opposite pattern. We find that we start, or the end says the person has to be misavel over the Beis HaMikdash the whole a year. That's very, very true. But the more intense period, we start with the 3 weeks, Shibbos or Batamos, and again, Medina de Gemara, there's basically no restrictions at all during the 3 weeks. All of it is later in Minhagim. Then we have Rosh Chodesh Av has some restrictions. And then we go to the week of Tisha B'Av, which is much stricter. Then we have the era of Tisha B'Av, the Suda Matzedes, reaching its crescendo in Tisha B'Av itself. Meaning, public mourning and private mourning move in two opposite directions. Private mourning moves from the Chomor to the Kal, and public mourning over the Beis HaMikdash moves from the Kal to the more Chomor. And there is a psychological reason for that distinction. And that is, what is the tachlis, what is the function of a mourning ritual? When a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has a private loss, their lives are devastated. A person loses a parent, a spouse, God forbid, a child. They feel their life cannot go on. They're shattered. They don't know what to do. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon that we continue to live. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon that we don't give in to despondency. So Availus, Hilchos Availus, creates a framework whereby a person can eventually be habituated to rejoin society and live a normal life. Initially, person sits Shiva, people come to him, lap, lap, like a person going into cold water. You put in your toe, get used to it, lap, lap. The Avel becomes acclimated to normal life. He becomes habituated to regular society, regular activities. And at that point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, of course you don't forget your loss, but it becomes compartmentalized. It becomes a part of your mind. There is that loss. But you go on. It's the Ratzon Hashem that you build the world, that you contribute to the world. In Ruchnius, in Gashmius. So Avelus, and then, even secular psychologists have remarked on the amazing healing aspect of Jewish mourning, that it allows a person to heal inside and be strong enough to go back to society. When it comes, Baba Nisena HaRabim, over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we have, very unfortunately, kind of the opposite problem. How many people... And again, maybe I shouldn't judge anybody, I'll talk for myself. I can't get up this morning. I'm so subrusted over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How can my life go on? The first generation that saw the Churban, they felt exactly like that. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, in Parash Cheska Sabbatim, that there was a generation that said, how can we eat meat if there are no korbanos? How can we drink wine if there's no Nisa Chayayim? How can we possibly enjoy things if we can no longer give them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Chachamim told them, well, then you shouldn't have fruit because there's no Bikurim. Can't have bread because there's no Menachas. Can't have water. There's no Nisa Chamayim. So they realized life has to go on. But they were shattered enough that they literally didn't know how they could live. But as time goes by, as the years, the decades, the centuries, the millennia, go by. At some point, we don't even know what it is that we're missing. How do you describe color to a person who was born blind? How do you describe music to a person who was born deaf? They have no shaykhs to color, no shaykhs to music. We have no shaykhs to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't know what it means to have nevuah. We don't know what it means to have the Shekhinah with us. In some ways, we have to say, in microcosm, in Zeir Anbin, as the expression goes, when we lose the Gedolei Torah that we've lost, and we feel a sense of loss, when we live, unfortunately, in an Eis Tzara, a time of Milchama, a time when innocent, good, righteous people die, get killed. Just yesterday, we had an event right in this neighborhood. So Hashem gives us the ability to be Margish a little bit, what it means to still be in Golas. But by and large, the Beis HaMikdash is a foreign experience to us. Gehula is a foreign idea to us. We don't know what it is. Person might think, if you have a glad kosher Chinese restaurant and you're in Yerushalayim, what else do you need? We have the Kaisel, after all. The Kaisel is a wonderful thing. The Kaisel, the Shekhinah has never left the Kaisel Maravi, but what is the Kaisel? The Kaisel is a remnant of a destroyed, not even the Beis HaMikdash, it's the remnant of the walls of the Har HaBayis that are otherwise destroyed. And what is on the Har HaBayis? In Eicha, it says, Al Har Tzion Sheshana Yimshu'alim Hilchu Bari. On the mountain of Hashem, there are foxes. I can prove to you from the Kenites, at least, that we're in a worse state than that. In one of the Kenites, it actually says, if you read carefully, I would much prefer to have foxes on your mountain than Edom v'Yishmael. In the Kenites. Perhaps we don't have foxes, we probably do. But Yishmael we certainly have. And the Har HaBayis. So, if it's true, going back to my initial question, that the purpose of private avelus is to get me out of my grief so I can rejoin society, public avelus is working in the opposite direction. To allow me to feel some sadness, to build myself in. In other words, not to get out of my grief, but to get into my grief. That hopefully, by the chitzonius, and yes, it's chitzonius, not getting a haircut, not listening to music, not eating meat, depriving ourselves of pleasure, sitting on a low bench. All of that is chitzonius. But maybe, I'm talking to myself, of course, Maybe. Kulahai vulai. Some of the chitzonius makes us realize what it is we don't have. What it is that we've lost. So it's eminently logical that the Mahalach of Avelus is in the direction of greater tzara as opposed to lesser. Because the goal is not to get us out, the goal is to get us in. Because the emissaries were not even matir. What was the Beis HaMikdash? How do I know? How do we know what it was? How do we know what Gilui Shekhinah is? How do we know what Nevuah is? How do we know? But the Parakeet Rav used to often speak about the Maisa in the Gemara, about a fellow, Yosef Meshisa. Yosef Meshisa was a Yid, not such a good Yid. When the Romans, before they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to plunder some of the great treasures in there. So they said to Yosef Meshisa, who was enough of a renegade that he was working for the Romans. And they said, take out all the good stuff that's there, and you can keep a souvenir. So he schleps out a lot of stuff. He decides he wants to keep the Menorah. Well, the Menorah the Romans didn't want to give him. The Menorah, pure gold, 1,000 talents, very, very expensive. So they told him, you can't have that. Go back and get something smaller. He said, I went into the Mikdash once, I will not go in there again. I will not desecrate the house of Hashem. And they told him, you go in and get stuff or we'll kill you. we're giving you an order. And he was willing to be tortured to death. He was willing to die before he would enter the Beis HaMikdash a second time. And the Panovich Rav said, what bothered him? He went in the first time, didn't bother him. He was willing to steal the menorah. All of a sudden, he becomes a Baal Shuvah. All of a sudden, he becomes Rav. All of a sudden, he's willing to die. Al Kiddush Hashem. And the Panovich Rav says, yeah. What was the difference between the first time and the second time? Because between the first time and the second time, he was in the Beis HaMikdash. It changed him. His encounter with Kedusha transformed him. It took a person who was a Rasha and it made him a Tzaddik who was willing to die al Kiddush Hashem. This was the transformative power of the Mikdash when it existed in all Israel. To be ma'arer, a person to goodness, to tshuva, to kirva to Hashem, to be willing, even a person who had been a Rasha, to be willing to give his life al Kiddush Hashem. You know, in the Nevuahs of Yechezkel, we actually have all sorts of Nevuahs about the Bayis Shlishi. And the end of Yechezkel actually talks about the third Beis HaMikdash that will never be destroyed. Actually, as the Malbim explains, it could have been the second Beis HaMikdash. We were not Zoka, so you have to redefine the Nevuah to refer to the third Mikdash. And it's complicated because, as always, without pictures in Tanakh, it's hard to figure out how it looked exactly. But one of the hanhagos, one of the halachos that Yechezkel gives us when he describes the Bayis Shlishi, is there are going to be different gates in the Azura, in the courtyard. In fact, the Bayis Sheni had either 7 gates or 13 gates. That's a machlokas. And you know, the Arizal teaches every shevet had its own gate. And if you didn't know your shevet, you went into the general gate, the Shara Kolel. And the Arizal said, it's Yadua, therefore, that is the makor of different nuschais of tefillah. Every shevet had its own nusach. And if you don't know your shevet, as most of us don't know, the Ari held that his nusach would have been the Shara Kaila. But be it as it may, one of the halachas that Yechezkel says that did not apply in the Bayis Sheni, but it does apply to the Bayis Shlishi, is when you enter the Azura through one gate, to bring a korban, whatever it is, you must leave by a different gate. You can't go out the same way you came in. This is a halachah of Mashiach, but this is a halacha of the Yassid Babai, that you enter through the north gate, you leave through the south gate, etc. And the Bali Muster said that there's a raya, there is a thought that this expresses. Going to the Mikdash, you don't come out the same way you went in. That even the idea of a physical different gate indicates that a person is changed, a person is transformed. And that is even manifest in the physical idea that you leave in a different gate. It's not the same way in and out. But you become Nisabich. This is what the Mikdash was. And we know that in many ways, the yearning that we have for Geula, the desire that we have that Hashem should redeem us, is in itself the greatest segula to bring back Geula. It is the yearning that creates the closeness with Hashem. Rav Huttner used to say, a short thought from Rav Huttner, when Rav Huttner made Aliyah, he said, the one thing he missed about living in Eretz Yisrael was the yearning to live in Eretz Yisrael. Since when he was in Chutz La'aretz, he had a certain kesher to Eretz Yisrael of always wanting to be here. And in many ways, the yearning of desire, as the English saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When you have something, even a Beis HaMikdash, you can take it for granted. The Mikdash can be taken for granted as well. I remember reading years ago, I think Feldheim published a fictional novel about Rabbi Akiva's wife, and Rachel was her name. So it was based on the Gemara, but they wrote it in a novelistic way. So I remember at some point, single women were speaking, and they said, why don't we go to the Beis HaMikdash today to watch the Korbanos? Yeah, they could watch from a distance. And one of them said, nah, they do the same thing every day. Let's go to the mall instead. I didn't know what malls they had in those days. But there's something eerily accurate about that idea, in which even Kedusha can be taken for granted. So if there is a bracha in Golos, the bracha in Golos is it creates yearning. But the problem is, as we get less and less connected, we lose the yearning as well, because we don't know what it is we're yearning for. But the Golos creates a yearning. And the Maharal says, that is the meaning of the Gemara, that Moshiach is born on Tisha B'Av. It doesn't have to refer to the birthday of the particular person that is Moshiach. That could be any day. That could be another day too. But it means the idea, the kayach, the spiritual kayach of Geula, of redemption, of Binyan Abayas, it is born by the depths of our yearning to be close to Hashem on the day of Tisha B'Av itself. The stronger our yearning, the greater the love, the greater the connection, the more we're zeicha to Geula. And that is why we are told that after May of Yesh Rosh Hashanah, one of the questions that we are going to be asked is not, did we believe in Mashiach? Did we believe in Yeshua? Everyone believes. If you're a believing Jew, you believe. But Tzipisa v'Yeshua. Tzipisa. Did you yearn? Did you wait? Was it like an aching void in our hearts? Was it something that, in some ways, it prevented us from being totally normal, because we were so fixated on this desire for a Geula. It is the sapia of the Geula that brings the Geula. David HaMelech says in Shir HaMalos, Nafshi LaShem Mishayrim LaBayker, Shayrim LaBayker. We say every day now, in a Sarat, Tehillim, Kuflamet. What is a Shayrim LaBayker? You're in the middle of the night, or the dark part of the night, before the dawn. And your job is to see the first light, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're yearning, and you're trying to see that first little bit of light on the horizon that will signify the beginning of a day. And David HaMelech says, my soul desires Hashem more than the watchers of the daylight are yearning for the dawn. That is called Sipiel Yeshua. And that brings the Geula. You know, it's interesting, we have a klal, because I'll say over and over again, Shechinta v'Galusa. The Shekhinah is with Am Yisrael and Golus. So I once saw an explanation of why is the Shekhinah with us in our Golus, and let me hasten to add that even in Yerushalayim we're in Golus. And unfortunately we discover it more and more with the passage of all of these events that we are confronted with. Because Shteit Azay, if a person kills B'Shegeg and goes to a near mikvah, so if a Talmud of a yeshiva kills B'Shegeg and goes to a near mikvah, Talmud Shegola Megalin Rabbi Imai, the Rebbe must go into Golos with the Talmud. Because the Pasuk says you have to live in Golos. How can a Talmud live without the Rebbe? Memela Kodesh Baruch Hu is our Rebbe. We go into Golos. Talmud Shagala, the Galen Rabbi Imai. The Eishner has to be with us. How could there be life without the Rebunishim? But consider the following. The person stays in the Yer Mikvah only until the Kohen Gadol dies. Let's say after the Kohen Gadol dies, the Talmud says, I like it in the Yer Mikvah. I'd like to say, does the Rebbe have an achrayas once the Talmud could have left and didn't leave, but he wants to stay? The answer is no. The Rebbe's achrayas is when the Talmud has to be in Golos. Once the Talmud can leave, the Rebbe has no achrayas. Chas v'shalom is a very sobering machshava. That is, if we are happy in the Golos, if we are complacent in the Golos, if we're not mitzvah eli Yeshua, then chas v'shalom, even the bechina of shechinta v'galusa can be lessened. Because we're no longer in the category of Talmud Shagala, Megalan Rabbi Imai. Because we're no longer in Dulles because we want to be in Dulles, because we have to be in Dulles. We're in Dulles because we want to be in Dulles. So one has to be Miss Finane. One has to be Miss Finane over peace of Yeshua. What does it mean to yearn for the redemption, to hope for the redemption? There is a Talmud Yerushalmi, I mentioned it in the Yeshiva before, that kol dor shelo nivna habayis biyomav, ki'ilu nechra biyomav. Tremendously powerful statement. Any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt is as guilty as the generation of the Churban. Now this is not a self-evident statement. This is not obvious. Without the Yerushalmi, I might have said this. The Beis HaMikdash was Nechra because Klal Yisrael, whether it's the first bias or the second bias, had tremendous Averos. In the first bias, it was Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shrichus Damim. In the second bias, it was Sinas Chinam. They lost it. We don't get it back because, not because we have those Averos. We don't get it back because we don't have this special, extra, super-duper Zechusim to get it back. That's what I might have thought. Talmud Yerushalmi says, don't think of that. You don't need a special zechus to get the Beis HaMikdash back. All you need, easier said than done, all you need is to eradicate the Averos that were Dorim the Churban. Therefore, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, any generation that doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash, so when Chazal say the Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of those Averos, get to it, and the Bayis Sheni, that the other Averos, it's not the Pshat, that's what they have. The Pshat is, that's what we have. And to put it more graphically, therefore, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was not a past event, but every single day, we are destroying it again and again and again. We burned it down yesterday. We burned it down today. And if chas v'shalom, we're not zeichet to the geula by tomorrow, and we have to hope that we can be, we will have burned it down tomorrow. It is a continuing act. Every generation, every day that it's not rebuilt, it is being destroyed for those identical avemos. And how do we destroy it? Because if you go back to the very first Mikdash, the Mishkan in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yasu li Mikdash v'shachandi b'seichah, build for me a sanctuary, build for me a sacred space, v'shachandi b'seichah, so I will dwell in them. And Chazal say, it doesn't say the Shekhinah is in the building. The Shekhinah is in the heart and soul of a Yid, who is makabel ol malchus shamayim, and tries to live his life in accordance with the Torah Hashem. And we make our heart a Mishkan for Hashem, Bilvabi Mishkan Evnech. Sefer Charedim's famous words, kind of beautiful nigga. Bilvabi Mishkan Evnech, in my heart I build a Mishkan, and when the Shekhinah is in us, there is a Beis HaMikdash. When the Shekhinah is not in us, the Beis HaMikdash is only a building. Dawa mentioned last night, again, the Medrash. Nebuchadnezzar was misgoda when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He said, I have destroyed God's house. I am stronger than God. I have vanquished the Ribbono Shel Olam because I have destroyed his home. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered to him, you didn't destroy my home. I don't live there anymore. In some ways, this actually means that Tisha B'Av, or the 10th of Av, because actually most of the bias burnt on the 10th of Av, but Tisha B'Av was just the final end stage of a process that had begun a long time before then. When there's no longer the Shachan, if it's true, Mikdash symbolizes Shachanti B'Sochan, when there is no V'Shachanti B'Sochan, there is no Mikdash. When the Shekhinah is not in our heart and in our soul, The Beis HaMikdash is a building like any other building. The Taj Mahal, you have plenty of nice buildings in the world. You have nice buildings in Yerushalayim. Anybody can destroy it. Nebuchadnezzar, don't be proud of yourself. Kimcha tachina tachant. You have ground up, ground flour. You've accomplished nothing at all. And that is why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah describes so graphically and in such a heartbreaking manner the 10 journeys of the Shekhinah, step by step by step, away from the Beis HaMikdash. Every time waiting, yearning, looking back at whether or not we will bring the Shekhinah back, leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim and stays, you know, over the Mizbeach, then over to the wall of the Azara, then the wall of the Harabayas, looking back every time waiting, till finally it goes to the Harazesim, the last step. Looking once again to see. At any point, we could have been the Shechanti B'Socha, we could have had it. We can have it! This very moment. What does the Gemara say? Someone asked the Eliyahu HaNavi, may Masai to Asimara, when is Mashiach going to come? Eliyahu HaNavi said, Hayah! Mashiach will come today! So they asked him, Hayah, today? Well, you have to look at the rest of the pasuk. Hayayim him b'kailo tishmamo. You listen to Hashem. Hayayim. It'll come today. That's the reality. Kol dor shalom yivne b'yamav. Ki yilu nechra b'yamav. What an achrayis. We can't like say, oh, you know, those old generations, they really messed things up for us. No, they didn't mess things up for us. If things are messed up, it's because we're still messing it up. They were guarding the Chorban then, and we're guarding the Chorban now. So as a result, how do we build the Beis HaMikdash? Some people, based on another Yerushalmi, actually say, the Zechiyah to try to build the Beis HaMikdash via Dayan. There are some people, Temple Mount, Ateris Kadam, we don't want to actually do that. But without getting into the details of that and the difficulties of that, let me just say that both the Rambam and Rashi reject this as a matter of halacha. The Rambam says that the physical building of the Beis HaMikdash is the responsibility of Mashiach, as opposed to the Yerushalmi that says, Binyan HaBayis brings Mashiach. The Rambam paskins b'feirush Hilchos Melachim that Bias HaMashiach will bring the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi, as is well known in Masechet Shavuos, actually learns an even more radical idea, that the Bayis Shlishi is not going to be built by us at all. It is going to be Yored Min HaShemayim. So if we have an Achrayas to build the Mikdash, our Achrayas is not to physically build the Mikdash that will either be Yored Min HaShemayim, as Rashi says, or that will be the job of Mashiach when he's Niskala, B'mehru V'yameinu. But our job is to build the Mikdash within our heart, within our soul. Our job is to make our Mitzias, our Neshamas, a place where the Divine Presence comes. And then, when we build a Mikdash within ourselves, and enough of us do so, then indeed we will be Zeichah to that Beis HaMikdash, Yared Min HaShemayim, because the Shechanti B'Zeichah is a condition to be Asulim. According to this interpretation, it's not that from the Mikdash there's Ashras Hashchina, but the other way around, when the Shechina is within us, then we have the Asulim Mikdash. So, if we look at the Averus that Chazal identified as being Gorim the Chorban, we have to ask ourselves, and again, I certainly never intend to give mushroom to anyone. I'm talking to myself, and you know, it's not. But just things to think about again. Let's start with the Mikdash Sheni. The Mikdash Sheni, of course, everyone knows. The Gemara in Yuma tells us the Mikdash Rishon was Necharav because of the three worst averus of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Damim. And Chazal point out that notwithstanding those worst aveiros, the gimel chamuras, that a person has to give up their life. That golus only lasted 70 years. And the second mikdash, where many yidden were eisek b'toyra, was nechrav because of sinas chinam, irrational, groundless hatred. And Chazal say, look how long that golus lasted, and we can add another 1,200 years to what Chazal, that we're defining as the length of the golus at that time. It really would almost be fruitless or superfluous or obvious to be marech on the sinas chinam that exists. No matter which way you cut it, whether it's between religious, secular, different types of religious, different types of groupings, subgroupings, they say the Eskimos, because they live in a culture surrounded with snow, can identify 300 different shades of white that would be imperceptible to a normal, to a person who didn't live in that culture. Well, Baruch Hashem, or Rabbi Nissen or Rabbi, depending how you look at it, we've been able to identify 300 different shades and nuances of frumkeit, of religious affiliation, determining who our children talk to, where we live. In many ways, that's good. In many ways, v'shteitzach, sehiras and mitzvahs, and yirashamayim, very important. Of course, we have to choose the right environment. There's no question about that. We have to choose the right chinuch, chas v'shalom. I don't mean to suggest anything to the contrary. But at the same time, we can make the choices we need to make in our avoda without disparagement of others, without being mezalzel in others, by understanding that even if, according to our shita, a certain hashkafa might be mistaken in some ways, that doesn't mean a person is a malek, a person is a rasha, a person is not deserving of at least being recognized as someone who is trying to serve Hashem. The Nitziv writes in his Hakdama that the etzem machwa of sinas chinam in the Bayis Sheni itself was based on religious characterizations, in which the person who seems to be firmer than me is a fanatic, and the person who is not as firm as me is an abikaris. It's only where I am, whoever the I is talking, which is put the right nekuda. And then it says that this is sinas chinam. When a person doesn't see the chashivas of another person, when a person is indifferent, sinas chinam doesn't have to mean throwing stones. It could mean indifference, coldness. He's not my chavra. He's not my chabura. This is sinas chinam. A coldness, an indifference, not appreciating the efforts of other people, even if they don't fully fit the particular shita that I have, even if they're mistaken, as a matter of fact. The Emes says, Shlomo HaMelech says in the book of Mishlei, Kamayim Aponim Aponim, Kain leva adam liadam. As water reflects the face that you show it, so is the heart of one person to another person. What does that mean? The Gra says, when I smile at the water, I get a smiling face. Water reflects. When I frown at the water, I get an angry face. Whatever I show the water is what I get back. The Pasuk says, Kain leiv ha'adam li'adam. A human being will reflect back what he is shown. You show a person that you're not machshir them. You show a person that they're garnished. You show a person that they're rishayim. Then that's how they're going to look at you. Kamayim oponim oponim, the Gra says. Again, it's not the time to comment on contemporary events. I don't want to be marach on Tisha B'Av. But let me just say that a lot of the conflict, a lot of the bitterness, a lot of the acrimony, a lot of the hatred, if we would cultivate within ourselves, B'nai Torah, Ovdei Hashem, Charedim L'Dvar Hashem, Remember this, Haredim is not the name of a political party. Chared, one who trembles because I want to keep the Dvar Hashem. It's not about politics. The person is a chared with Dvar Hashem. You try to see the good in people, whether it's Hakara Satov the Chayalim, who are indeed risking their lives, Chilami or not. Then the consolation prize, the pot at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, is Kamayim Opanim Opanim. They too will be Machshiv Torah, be Machshiv Avodah, be Machshiv Limud HaTorah, because they get a certain amount of Chashivas, Mitzideinu as well. And I don't want to be Marech on it that much. It's not really for me to be Marech. But when we think about Sinas Chinam, these are some of the Machshavas that we think about. Certainly, there is a musik of hating things that are evil, hating things that are wrong, and being misnagged to things that are wrong. But there are ways of doing it in which one doesn't have to be mavaza, mavayish, tear a person down, in which things can be argued on the basis of a hashkafa, on the basis of machshava, and then kamayim apanim apanim could be a wondrous way of diffusing many, many, many difficulties. They tell the Maisa of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that he once paskened against the butcher that all of the meat was treif, and the butcher, by some pretense, lured him out to an isolated area and was about to kill him. The butcher said, "You were mafsid by parnasa, I'm going to kill you." And there were talmidim who were watching from a distance because they suspected there was something wrong, and they don't know what's going on, they're horrified. And all of a sudden, they see the butcher throws the knife on the ground, falls on his knees, and he starts crying, and he begs Rav Chaim for forgiveness. So they tell Rav Chaim, "Well, I see the Rebbe, he's a Hasidish Rebbe, he does nisim mitzvos, maisim. How did it happen?" Chaim Volozhiner said, now again, this is a dangerous experiment, do not do this at home. But Chaim Volozhiner said, "I knew when my life was in danger, I had to try to concentrate on this person's milus, to try to understand him. Yes, not that there's any mile in trying to kill somebody, but to try to understand his pressures, to try to understand his feelings, to try to feel rachmanis for him. And I knew, kamayim apanim alpanim, he would feel rachmanis for me." Now, this is not a trick. In other words, if you just do it just to save your life, it's not going to work because you don't really feel that way. But if a person be emes and reaches that madrega, Rav Chaim Volozhiner said it was badekum menusa. That person's going to love you if you're mishtadel to see his good points and love him. So maisa v'sprat, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. This is the inyan of sinas chinam. Again, I don't want to be marachim too much. I mentioned one thought of the Sfas Emes. You know, we say in v'hi she'amdo la'meseinu v'lanim shelo yachad bilvad amad aleinu v'chaleseinu. It is not only one that has tried to destroy us, but in every generation. Ayim demaleinu v'chaleseinu. The Sfas Emes really translates the words a little bit. Instead of saying, it is not only one that tries to destroy us, he translates it this way. Shalayachad bilvad. It is only the fact that we are not one that is amad aleinu v'chaleseinu. That has been our chorban. When there's achdus in Klal Yisrael, there is a siyata dishmaya, an emistic siyata dishmaya. But now, let me move in a different direction. When we suffered the Churban Bayis Sheni, are we misabel only over the Bayis Sheni, or are we still misabel over the Bayis Rishain itself? It's mukhach from the Rambam that we are misabel not only over the loss of the second mikdash, but we are still misabel over the loss of the first mikdash, because even when we got the second mikdash, we didn't get everything that we had in the first mikdash. We didn't get the Nevuah. And the Raya from the Rambam is, because the Rambam writes, again, this is much more of the Gemara itself, the Rambam writes in the Perush of Mishnayos to Maseches Rosh Hashanah that they fasted on Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni. They fasted on Tisha B'Av. What did they fast on Tisha B'Av before? They have a Beis HaMikdash. The answer is they fasted because they still, the Churban Bayis Rishayim was never given back. The Bayis Sheni didn't have Nevuah. He didn't have the prophetic power of the Urim B'Tumim. There's even a Lashon that didn't have Shechina in its fullest sense. And the Mela, we were still misabim. That's why the Pasuk says in Ezra, when they dedicated the Bayis Sheni, there were still some very old people, the Canaan, who remembered the last days of the Bayis Rishon. And everybody was singing and dancing. But the Sakanim were sobbing and crying, and the Pasuk says that this amazing, how many people could there have been? Probably not so many. But the sound of their wailing was louder than the sound of the joyous singing. So Memela, if it was true that even during the second Mikdash, we're Misabel over the first Mikdash, then Kal Vachomer, we don't even have the second, we're not just Misabel over the second, we're Misabel over the first. So, that raises a kasha. Because if you go with the Yerushalmi, that says, any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt is guilty of the same aveiros that caused the Churban. So Bishlamah is saying we're guilty of Sinas Chinam. Very unfortunately, that's not so difficult to conclude. But Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shvichus Tavit. In other words, we have to make a chesed on Nefesh. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shvichus Tavit. I mean, we're not that bad. Didn't murder, worship an idol. Right? What is the chesed on Nefesh that Kol Yisrael needs to go through? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shvichus Tavit. So the truth of the matter is, it all depends how you understand it. First of all, Chazal themselves tell us that the Gilul Chamurais do not always have to be limited to the literal translation. Chazal say, for example, Kol HaKoles, when there is anger, Ki Ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. So, maybe I don't bow down to an idol. Do I get angry? Is there anger? Now, what's the shayas of anger in Avodah Zarah? It's not so pleasant. The Balatanya says that anyone, whenever we get angry, we are displaying a lack of emunah, that everything comes from Hashem. Because if everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I be angry at somebody? Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elamai, I don't believe it came from Hashem. Ebezayis, Mevei Zara, I'm not totally maiman in Hashem. That's what the Balatanya says. Again, Tisha B'Av is not the time to talk. This is a bit of a controversial statement, because you may know there's an Orach Chaim that actually says because of Bechira, people can do things that are not the Ratzon Hashem, but the Baal Tanya is going with a different Mahalach. Similarly, when it comes to Shvichus Tovim, Hamal Ben Bnei Chavei Rebbe Rabin, I humiliate somebody publicly. Ki Ilu Shofech Tovim. Tamar was willing to go to her death in a fiery furnace before she would reveal the identity of Yehuda, unless Yehuda himself stepped forward and be Maida. Sadka Mimani. Because, again, the Gemara says, because this is called Shrikas Damim, it has to be Yehari Vel Yavar. So, maybe I'm not guilty of sticking a knife into somebody, but Malman Bnei Chavera, Shrikas Damim. Maybe I'm not guilty of bowing down to an idol, but Kol HaKayes, Gilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. And with respect to Gilui Arayos, again, unfortunately, perhaps that's the simplest one to say we still have a problem. There are Hirurei Aveira, there are exposures on the internet, and media, that even if a person is not mamish, doesn't do some maaseh b'payel, we live in a world that is shakua business. One doesn't have to be mamish. But I would add another nekuda too. You actually see, from Tanakh itself and from Chazal's interpretations of Pesukim, that whenever there is a merchak, whenever there's a chasm, whenever there's a gap in the intimacy of Ishvi Ishvei, a share in Shalom Bayis, that is called a Bechina of Gilui Arayos, because there's a wedge between Ishvi Ishvei. So, we live in a time where unfortunately, the coldness that exists not only between some yidden and other yidden, but we have an epidemic of a lack of shalom bayis. So many problems in marriages and families. And we see that this is a bechina of gilui arayas, not because it's caused by gilui arayas, but don't look here. Kishen that gilui arayas would create a pirut, so whenever there's a pirut, we connect it to a gilui arayas. My raya to this is that in the book of Shmuel, it mentions that the Bnei Eli literally would sleep with the women that would bring korbanos. Now the Gemara says, that's not shayach. Anyone that says Bnei Eli were chayte, like that, is making a mistake. But what's the pshat? These were women that were bringing the burnt offerings after childbirth. And because there's very little meat, actually there's nothing to eat in a burnt offering at all, so the Bnei Eli put them at the end of the line. So they had to hang around the whole day till they got to their korbanos. And what's the problem? They delayed these women coming back to their husbands. What is it called? It's called as if they were shaykhed them. Because anytime you create a period by Nishli Ishtar, it's a bechina of gilui arayas. So that's one hesber. One hesber is, maybe we're not guilty of these things literally, but we can be guilty of them in terms of what Chazal equated to Avodah Zarah, gilui arayas shvichus. There's a second hesber we have to keep in mind as well. Everyone knows the Beis Yosef, or Beis Kara, Maran, the source to this day, together with the Ramah of Halacha for Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yosef was also a great Mekubal, and the Beis Yosef actually had a very good chavrusa. He had an angel, a malach, that he used to learn with. And the Beis Yosef even wrote a diary, a Torah, that he heard from this malach. It was called his Magid, his preacher. And there's a sefer you can get, Magid Meisharim, which is a diary of the Beis Yosef's interactions with his Malach. In the sefer Magid Meisharim, there is the following story that is told, that the Beis Yosef was once working over a sugya, a very difficult sugya. And after a very long time, he had a pshat in the sugya. And he was very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had the light of the Torah. And he's walking in Tzfat. You can imagine the narrow alleys of Tzfat, if you've been there. And he overhears a shoemaker learning that same Gemara with his young son. Doesn't want to eavesdrop, but it's the same Gemara he was just learning. And the kid asks his father the same kasha that was troubling the Beis Yosef. Okay. The father answers the kasha immediately with the Beis Yosef's teretz. And not only that, but the father is critical of this six-year-old. Why couldn't you figure this out? This is very simple. The father was annoyed that the six-year-old didn't get what the Beis Yosef spent weeks trying to figure out. So the Beis Yosef was subrachim. Because if indeed this was so pasha that a six-year-old, good, I mean, I'm sure they were, you know, very, very, even the six-year-olds were probably even high in my grade there. In fact, it's interesting. The Gra gave his first drasha in Vilna when he was a six-year-old. And he gave a long pilpul, and everyone was inspired. But some people weren't impressed because they said, his father must have taught him. So apparently, if your father taught you a complicated pilpul at six, that was not a big achievement. Okay, I would have been pretty impressed with that itself, but okay. But be this at night, the Beis Yosef was subrachim. Because the Beis Yosef feels, why wasn't I zaycha to understand the pashtus of Torah? He asks the Malach, what's my chait? What do I have to do tshuva for? And the Malach told him, we have no chait at all, it's pumpkins. This Havana is very deep, very difficult. The world was not ready for it. But by your yagia, by your amelus, by your harboring over Torah, you brought it into the world. Once you brought it into the world, anybody can get it. Now, what does that even mean? The Beis Yosef didn't write it down. He didn't explain it to anybody. He didn't teach it to anybody. He's sitting in his room and he comes and he finally is there to tell something. So now it becomes easier for other people? How does that work? Rationally, it doesn't work at all, obviously. But metaphysically, our learning, our davening, our mitzvahs, our yagiyah b'tayra, not just ours, anyone's yagiyah b'tayra, brings Kedusha into the world. The world gets changed. Abilities to connect to Hashem become available that weren't available otherwise. And Mimela, even the Torah, that explains the phenomenon of the high school kid, you know, being machad into the Ketzayis or something like that. Yeah, the Ketzayis brought it in, so Mimela, it's accessible to all of us on some level. So what does that mean? You know, anti-Semites like to say that Jews are responsible for all the world's evils. I hate to say that they might be right. Don't say it out of the room here, but they might be right. Because we create the Kedusha in the world. We create the Ruchnius in the world. The Torah, the mitzvahs, the person who is sitting in a room and learning and no one even knows about it is changing the world in one way or the other. Chabad Chaim used to say that the tznius of the fashions in Paris was connected to the sharpkeit of the learning in Rabbi. It's like ground zero when you have an atom bomb. So ground zero, the radiation is very powerful. So good. So the learning in Rabbi, so in Vilna, you know, people will learn, you know, 10 hours instead of 9 hours. By the time it gets to Paris, you know, maybe you'll have a daily minion with sneers, whatever it would be. But the point is, there's a hashpa. So, going back to the question, what am I doing tshuva? Am I the Zohar Gehler Rai Shri Chastani? Even if none of us are guilty of those things, if we live in a world that is replete with certainly Shri Chastani, certainly Gehler Rai, and the emphasis of Avodah Zarah as well, if you look at Avodah Zarah as putting anything ahead of Avodah Hashem, whether it's money, power, or political power. We live in a world that is shakua, not only in Sinas Chinam, but in Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shri Chazdami. And even if none of us are guilty of any of those things, if we could have brought more Kedusha into the world could have been, and would have been, a different place. And therefore it becomes Kalapei Shemaya, part of our Achmayas. And that's why Chazal say, what is an Apikaris? An Apikaris, according to one view in the Gemara, is a person who says, Maya Hani La Rabbana, what do the Rabbana do for the world? They don't do anything. They just sit and learn. Well, it's Apikorsis. Yeah, maybe, because even if all somebody is doing is sitting and learning, the bracha they bring to the world is tremendous. We don't even know. But le'idach isa, in our own internal cheshbon ha'nefesh, we have to know that if we live in a world of hashchasa, a world that's so mushchas in so many ways, we bear a certain achrayas that we did not create enough kedusha. So that's the second kesher to Avodah Zarah Gehilei Shri Chastani. Let me just mention a third one relatively quickly, and this is from Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says that Avodah Zarah Gehilei Rai Shri Chastani are really symptoms of certain root midos. And even if one doesn't have the symptom, they can still have the disease. You can have a disease without a symptom. The disease, Rav Tzadok says, are the three destructive midos that are enumerated in Pirkei Avos. Kina, jealousy, taiva, an excessive lust for the physical and sensual, and kavod, a desire for glory and ego gratification. Rav Tzadok says, kina is the shayrish of ritzicha, because when jealousy becomes very extreme, it can even lead to taking a life. And of course, the best proof of that is the very first ritzicha in the Torah of Cain killing Hevel, was primarily through the aside of Kina. Cain sees that Hevel's korban is accepted. Cain sees that Hashem seems to like Hevel more. Cain can't stand it. He destroys Hevel. He murders him. So Kina can lead to Shri Chastana. And to this day, most murders outside of the military situations that we face often arise through jealousy. Taiva will, of course, culminate in Gilui Arayos, right? That is a sin of Taiva. Now, Avodah Zarah and Kavod is a bit trickier, but Rav Tzadok connects Avodah Zarah and Kavod by basically saying The desire that we have to make idols is to enable us to create a religion that lets us be the boss. Instead of man being made in the image of God, Avodah Zarah makes small gods in the image of man. And the Mela, ultimately, the Yisayid of Avodah Zarah is the idea, I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge. I want to be the one that makes the rules. That comes from Gaiva and Kavod. So Rav Tzadok says, it may very well be, I don't do Avodah Zarah. I don't do Gilui Arayos. I don't do Shri Chasdamas. But nevertheless, if there's Kina, that is the Sheirish of Shri Chasdamas. If there's Taiva, that's the Yisod of Arayos. If there's Kavod and Ego, that's the Yisod of Avodah Zarah. Or to put it a different way, I'm making myself an idol. When I make myself the center of what is good and what is valuable and what is right and what is wrong, I've made myself an Avodah Zarah. So Kavod is the ultimate Avodah Zarah that exists. That's exactly why the Gemara says, when a person is a Baal Gaiva, he pushes Hashem out of the world. He's Dochek Rakli Ashkina. Because the Baal Gaiva means, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, I'm the most important thing in the world. Hashem says, I can't live in the world under those conditions. That's not the deal. The deal is, he's the Baal Gaiva, we're the Nibber. We can't do it the other way around. So Mimela, the Chashkin therefore is, that based on the Yerushalmi, Kol Dor Shalom Nivne B'Yamav Ilu Nagra B'Yamav, it is Mechayev to do a Cheshvan HaNefesh on the Averis that caused the Churban, because those Averis are still here. The message I'm giving you is, it is not only the Sinas Chinam of the Bayis Sheni that is still here, and it is certainly still here, but it's even, in different ways, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, that's still here. Because we are still Mishabel over the Churban Bayis Rishayim. And not only the Churban Bayis Sheni. Let me just add again, I'm running out of time, with one final Gemara. The Gemara in Eilu Metzias gives another reason. Now it doesn't say why the Mikdash was Nechrat. Again, you have to be medayek. Sometimes Chazal say, why is the Mikdash Nechrat? And sometimes they say, why was Yerushalayim Nechrat? And it's worthwhile to be angered on this. But at least in Gemara Bar Metzia, it says that one of the reasons Yerushalayim was Nechrava, al shehimidu dineyem al shehimidu divrayem al din tayrim. They follow the din. What's so bad about that? To follow the din? To follow din tayrim? However, I should follow the din tayrim. How could that possibly be a siva for churban? And the Mefarshim explain, it's not an avera to follow the din. It's a good thing to follow the din. But here is the point. Following the din in Dinei Mamonos, for example, would mean if I have a right to get money from you, I collect it. I'm not mochel, I'm not mavater. If your fence is a 32nd of an inch over my boundary line, I made you take it away. Do I have the right to do that? Absolutely. Are you mechayev to obey if I want to be tovet? Absolutely. But here is the problem. The problem is, you can do whatever you want within the Shuras Adin. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us the same way we judge others. If we judge others with the Shuras Adin, exactly al pi din, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us exactly al pi din. Al pi din? But let me just say, we don't want to be judged that way. Al pi din, even the greatest tzaddikim might not be zeicha to din. It's a famous verse from the Shulah HaKadosh. I wouldn't say it if the Shulah didn't say it. That when Rabbi Akiva was being tortured to death, and he was makabel al kiddush Hashem, the Malachi Asharei said to Hashem, Zu Taira, Zu Schara, is that the reward for Taira? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shtaik! Be quiet. Kach arba b'machshava l'fanai, this is my machshava. Zat b'shalah HaKadosh. Hashem's machshava was to create the world with midas hadin. Only later he saw the world, Bereshit bara Elokim, he saw the world could not survive, he was mishtakev midas hadin with midas harachmin. But for tzaddikim, he still judges them by the machshava. You hear the deal? Kach Allah, the machshava l'fanai. Rabbi Akiva is being judged with my original mashal. But that's frightening. What's that saying is, with a pure midas adin, we don't understand this at all. I'm just telling you the Shema. With a pure midas adin, even Rabbi Akiva can be judged harshly. Again, we don't understand. I'm just saying the Shema. So, when Chazal say Yerushalayim was nechrav because it's iminu divrayim al din Torah, it doesn't mean they committed a sin. You can certainly follow the din. But there's going to be a cost. You follow the din, you follow the exact rights, your entitlements, then the Eibishter will also follow the din. You have rachmanis, you have vitor, you have mechila, you have forgiveness, then the Eibishter forgives you as well. So it's another machshava. Obviously it's connected to sinas chinam, but it's really a separate nekuda. And that is, just as they say a vort, some people say it b'shem Baal Shem Tov, and some say Rav Chaim Volozhin, so it must be right because the Litvaks claim it, and Hasidim claim it, famous vort. Hashem Silcha, again from Kuf Lamed, Hashem is your shadow. Wherever you go, your shadow follows. I'm Nayeg with Rachmanas. Hashem says, I'll be Nayeg with Rachmanas. I'm Nayeg with exactitude and Hakpada. Hashem says, okay, I'm with you all the way. So these are things to think about on this day of Avelis. And as I said in the beginning, the tears that we shed on Tisha B'Av are the greatest way that we bring the Mashiach. And that's why Chazal say, or that's Chazal, Pasuk in Zechariah says, that when the bias will be Nivneh B'Meheirah B'Yameinu, Tisha B'Av will be a day of Sasein B'Simcha. Not just neutral, it will be a day of Sasein B'Simcha, because our Avelis is what will bring the Churban, may we bring the Geula, may we be Zeichet to that point.
Amen.